morning I want to talk to you about living amazed. Living amazed. I want to go to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let's pray. Lord, I love you today and I thank you for honoring with us with your presence this morning, God. Father, I thank you that your presence moved in our hearts, and people that needed to be strengthened were strengthened. People that needed to be encouraged were encouraged. People that needed to be challenged were challenged. That God, you moved in the needy places of our heart, and you imparted something this morning in worship, and I'm so thankful for that, God. And Lord, I do pray this morning that you would just help me to convey what's on your heart. That you would just speak something in our life this morning, God, from your word. And we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In a time of prayer with the Lord this week, I was reading through Luke chapter 4, and I read over a verse that I have read many times. And this time when I read over the verse, the Holy Spirit suddenly gripped my heart. He suddenly captivated my heart, and he started speaking something to me that really caused a deep stirring. And I just want to share with you the verse. I want you to look with me at verse 32. Verse 32 says, "And they were astonished, they were amazed at his doctrine, for his word was with power." It says they were amazed because his word was with power. And here's what the Lord spoke to me in this. He said, "Tim, I desire that my people live in amazement at the power of my word. I desire that my people be amazed at my word, how it's so powerfully working in their life." And as the Lord was speaking to me this, he so powerfully took me back to the day I got saved. And he began to walk me through our 22-year journey together. And he began to show me where I started. And he began to show me where I am at now. And he began to show me the things that he accomplished in my heart. And he caused me to see some miracles that he performed in my life in these 22 years of walking with each other. He caused me to see places where I was so captivated and now I'm free. He caused me to see strongholds that once tormented my mind and now I'm free. He caused me to see places in my spiritual walk where I could never stand in my own strength. And now I'm standing in his strength. He caused me to see issues that were so entrenched in my heart that I was powerless over. Issues like bitterness and jealousy and ungratefulness. And his word has worked powerful in my life and brought transformation in these places. He showed me where I started in my ministry and where I am today. Over the years, the water has only gotten deeper in my ministry. And as he showed me these things in that place of prayer, I found myself standing amazed in his presence. They were so clear to my heart, and I had such a clarity to see what God has done in these 22 years as I have walked with him. And in my place of prayer, down in my basement, all I could do was stand there with my hands to the Lord and say, "God, I'm so amazed at what you have done in my life, and I thank you for showing me what you have done in my life." You know, sometimes we can lose sight of what God has done in our life. Sometimes we can lose sight of what the power of his word has performed in our lives. You know, his word has performed things in our life that we were absolutely in our strength. It was impossible for us to do. And I feel in my heart this morning, God just wants to remind us today of how amazing his word is. Today, God wants to remind us how amazingly his word is working within our lives. I want you to go with me to the book of Mark, And we're going to go to the seventh chapter, Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. It says, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they besought him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said, Ephphatha. That is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain. And he charged him that they should not tell no man, but the more he charged him, so much the more is great deal they published it. Verse 37 says, and they were beyond measure amazed, saying, he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You know, beloved, probably the most popular song in church history today is Amazing Grace. And I have to say, the longer I walk with God, the more His grace amazes me. The more His faithfulness amazes me. The more His mercy amazes me. When I see more and more just how much I fall short, His grace amazes me. When I see more and more just how much every day He walks with me in abundant mercy, it amazes me. When I see more and more and I realize more and more just how much He carries me in my places of weakness, it amazes me. And I have to tell you, the more I walk with God, the longer I walk with God and I see His grace in my life and I experience His grace in my life, it just causes me to thirst even more to know His grace and to understand His grace. And it really causes a thirst in my heart that my ministry would be so much about His grace and that my message would be so much about His grace. It just causes me to have a grace-filled message for His people. You see, in Mark 7, I see myself in this story. And I stand amazed. The Lord has opened my ears to hear what He has to speak to me about His amazing grace. And He's given me a tongue to stand before His people and talk about His grace. And that amazes me. Beloved, the more I see and understand what His grace means in my life, the more I fall in love with His grace. The more I treasure His grace. Beloved. And the more I see His grace in my life, the more inadequate I feel to stand before His people and talk about His grace. And just the fact that He would call me to stand before His people and minister grace, that amazes me. The more I walk with God, the more I see His grace, that amazes me. Beloved, what I want us to see is that it's His word that opens our eyes to His grace. It's the power of His word that opens our eyes to see everything His grace is in our lives. His grace runs so deep, and it's His word that causes us and empowers us to recognize when grace is moving through our lives. I love how God's people can read the Bible and the Holy Spirit suddenly comes and He shows us grace. You know, I love the story of Joseph, how he was in a prison, in a place where he was so hopelessly captivated, in a place that his own strength was powerless to deliver him out of that place. And yet the Bible says that God was with Joseph, and God gave him mercy, that it was the mercy of God that triumphed in Joseph's life. I love the story of Naomi, how she was a broken woman, broken by her past. And the Bible says suddenly the kindness of God came upon her life. So much to a point, there was a moment in her life where all she could do was hold her hands up and say, bless the Lord my God, who has not left off of His kindness. I love the story of Peter. That moment how he terribly failed the Lord and he's sitting in his rags and his grave clothes of failure. And suddenly Jesus comes to him and says, Peter, feed my sheep. That Peter, I'm entrusting into your hands my most precious, priceless possessions. And I love how it was God's faithfulness that triumphed over Peter's failure. Beloved, I love to read these stories, and I love to see how grace so marvelously impacted and changed your life. But what I love most about these stories is it's not just Joseph's story. It's not just Naomi's story. It's not just Peter's story. Beloved, we all know in our own lives, we all know those times in our own life where we were captivated in a place of hopeless captivity, and suddenly it was mercy that triumphed over our life. We all know those places in our life where we were broken, and suddenly it was God's kindness that triumphed in our life. We all know those places where we fell into terrible, hopeless pits of failure. But it was God's faithfulness that triumphed over our failure. And I have to tell you, when we begin to see past their lives, and we begin to see those times when it's our life, there's nothing that you can do but stand in His presence in utter amazement. There's nothing you can do but stand in His presence in utter amazement. Where would I be without your mercy? And where would I be without your kindness? And when I was in my pit of failure, where would I be now if your faithfulness hadn't showed up in my life and pulled me out? Where would I be now? And the only thing I can say in my heart this morning is, God, you amaze me. Your grace amazes me. In Mark chapter 7, verse 37, the Bible says that the people were amazed that Jesus made the deaf to hear by His word. You know, I remember the night I got saved, January 27th, 1993. It was a night to remember. And the very next morning, my mother went to the Christian bookstore and she bought me a Bible. She came home and she handed me that Bible. And I immediately fell in love with my Bible. And I'd go to work and I'd take it work with me every day. And at my 15-minute breaks and my 30-minute lunchtime, I would grab my Bible and I'd open my Bible and I'd begin to read my Bible. And it was somewhere at that little workstation while I was reading my Bible that suddenly I began to hear a voice speak to my heart. I began to hear a voice that I never heard before begin to speak to my heart. And when that voice began to speak to my heart from the pages of my book, my heart suddenly began to leap within me. I was like a deaf man who could hear for the very first time. That was me in the story. When I suddenly began to hear that still small voice speaking to me from the pages of His word, my heart began to leap within me. And I remember I began to tell the Lord, oh God, I can hear your voice. Lord, I can hear your voice. God, as you are speaking to me from this book, I can hear this voice. And something in my heart began to leap because I was like a deaf man who could hear for the very first time. And I have to tell you something. That's been 20 years ago. And every time He speaks to me from this book, my heart still leaps. Every time I go into the prayer closet and I say, God, I need a word for your people. We're living in very dark times. People are confused. They have no idea who they are. And your people need a word. And every time in that still small place, I'm reading my Bible and suddenly that little voice begins to speak. I want to tell you something. Nothing has changed in 22 years. My heart begins to leap again. I feel like I'm a deaf man who's been able to hear for the very first time. Several months after I got saved, reading my Bible, the Lord called me to preach. And I fought with the Lord on that one. Not that I didn't want to preach. I just had to know it was Him. And I fought with Him. I said, Lord, if you're truly calling me to preach, I'll preach. But I don't want to preach just because it's something coming out of my own heart, Lord. I need to know that it's You. And I fought with the Lord on it. In fact, I fought with Him for about 4 months. And finally, I concluded in my heart, it is the Lord calling me to preach. And I gave myself to the call. And the Lord started opening a door here and a door there to preach. And one day I got an invitation to come to a city and preach. I was invited to come and share a 15-minute word. And so I thanked the Lord for it. And I went and I preached. And the altar call was given, and people came down, and I could see the glory of God on their faces, and I could see tears coming down their faces, and in my heart I began to rejoice, because I knew God was doing something deep in people's lives, but I didn't know how deep, till about 5 years later, when I was invited with a group of people to come minister there again, and we had our service. And as we were leaving, a man approached me. And he said, Brother Tim, do you remember the first time you came and preached? I think you preached about 15 minutes. And I said, yes, sir, I remember that. And I remember looking at this man, and he was looked like very businesslike. He was wearing a suit and tie and very well groomed. And I was just looking at him, and he said, so you remember that first night? And I said, yes, sir, I do remember the first time. And he said, I was there that night. But back then when I was there, I was a homeless man living on the street. I was an alcoholic. I was bound by drugs. I was living in suicidal depression because of the hopelessness of the street. But I heard you speak that night. And I heard you say something. What you said was so simple, but it really found a place in my heart. You said God can give you a brand new life. God can give you a brand new change in your life. And he said, Tim, I took you at your word and I made the altar call that night. And I want you to know that night God saved me. And today I have a wife and two wonderful kids. I have my own business and I am in ministry and I am faithfully serving the Lord with all of my heart. God honored His word. He changed my life that night. And I just want to thank you, Brother Tim, for allowing yourself to speak His word, allowing the Lord to put His word in your heart and you begin to speak it. I just want to thank you for being obedient to the Lord. And before I knew it, He grabbed my hand, shook it, turned around and left. But I remember, though, for a moment, standing in absolute amazement at what God had done. And I just want to say, beloved, it's not hard to see myself in this story. Amazed that God had made the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, because this is my testimony. And I'm sure there are many people here that can say, and Pastor Tim, this is my testimony. Yes, I see it, Pastor Tim. This is my story, that when Jesus came into my life for the first time, I could really begin to hear, and I could really begin to speak. Amen. It just amazes me. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto him their partners, which were in the ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that the ship began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Verse 9. For he was amazed, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. For he was utterly amazed, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish they had taken. So in our story, Jesus is preaching in a boat. And when he finishes, he tells Peter, Peter, launch out into the deep and let's go fishing. And Peter says, we've toiled all night and we've caught absolutely nothing. And you can just hear the tiredness and the frustration and the defeat in Peter's voice because, you know, his whole livelihood depends on fishing. And in essence, when you look at this in a spiritual light, Peter is saying to Jesus, I tried my very best in my own strength to catch fish. In my own strength, I gave it my very best effort and I failed. But yet he arises and obeys the word of Christ and launches out into the deep and lets down his net. And to his absolute amazement, all the fish in the lake tried to get into his net. And the Bible says that he was amazed by the power of Christ. He was amazed by the power of his word. And all he could do was kneel in the presence of Christ in humble amazement. And beloved, I think all of us have issues in our life where we have tried so hard to overcome in our own strength only to fail over and over again. We tried to live in victory over these issues, but our own strength failed us over and over again. But then God's word came into these issues and began to work in these issues. And the power of his word did something in our life where our own human strength was powerless. I know there's someone here today who can lift up their voice and proclaim, in my prison of selfishness, God came and gave me a heart that truly desires to love and serve people. I know there is someone here today who can lift up their voice and proclaim, in my prison of ingratitude, God came and gave me a heart to lift up my voice and thank him for his incredible goodness. In my present of pain, God came and gave me a heart that no longer grieves over the past, but praises him for my future. I know there's someone here today who can lift up their voice and proclaim, in my present of shame and guilt, God came and gave me a heart that no longer lives in the grave of remorse, but now lives in the freedom that I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I know there was someone here today who can even lift up their voice and say, I was all that, but God gave me a loving, serving, thanking, praising, Christ-exalting, new creation heart set free by the wonder-working, liberating, transforming power of his word. Thank God I am changed. I want to ask you a sincere question. If we truly took time to think about all his word accomplished in our lives, would we not stand amazed at this time? I want to put it this way. If the Lord was suddenly to appear here and flash before our face everything his word has accomplished in our lives, would we not get out of our pews and fall on the floor and be amazed? The Lord is just saying, I don't want you to lose sight of how amazingly my word is working in your life. And here's what I want to go with this. Here's where I want to go with this. In Luke chapter 5, we can look at powerless Peter sitting in the boat, tired, discouraged, and frustrated. Powerless in his own strength to put fish in the net and think that this is the end of the story. We can think, poor Peter, powerless to put fish in the net. And we can really believe this is the end of the story. But can I tell you this power and authority Jesus has in his word to fill the nets with fish, Peter came into that power and authority. This power and authority Jesus has to speak and fill the nets with fish, Peter came into that power and authority. Beloved, I want to show you the end of the story here. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. Look with me at verse 32. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. He says, this Jesus hath God raised up where we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalting and having received of the Father the promises of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, listen, this is the day of Pentecost. And do you know what just happened? Luke chapter 5 just happened all over again. Capture that. I really got excited when the Lord showed me that. Luke chapter 5 just happened all over again, except it's Peter speaking and putting fish in the net. Peter's word has divine power to put souls in the kingdom net. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter rose up to preach, do you know what Jesus could have very well been thinking? Jesus could have been in the portals of heaven looking down on this with a big grin on his face, and this is what he could have been thinking. Now it's your turn, Peter. It's your turn, Peter, to fill the nets with fish. It's your turn, Peter, to open your mouth and speak God's word and see the Holy Spirit power to fill God's kingdom net with fish. Peter, open your mouth now because it's your turn to catch fish. I really love that. I got excited when the Lord showed me that. Acts chapter 2 is just Luke chapter 5 all over again, except now it's Peter opening his mouth and putting fish in the kingdom net. And in my heart, I could just see Jesus up there smiling, remembering that moment in Luke, and something's coming up out of Jesus' heart saying, it's your turn, Peter. Now it's your turn. Now you open your mouth and put fish in the net. Amen. That's amazing. It's amazing to me that the same power, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is upon me to preach the gospel. It's amazing to me that every time I preach, and I say this in humility of heart, and people come to the altar, the same power that was upon Christ to put fish in the net is upon my life, drawing people to what God is speaking in His Word. That's amazing to me. And it ought to be amazing to you that when you speak, and people give their life to the Lord, or people are being drawn to the Lord, the same power that was upon Jesus in the boat to put fish in the net, that same power is upon your life. That same power is upon my life. And I have to tell you something. It amazes me. Now, I want to end this message with a challenge. I want to look at one more story where people stood amazed at the power of His Word. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Look with me at verse 35. says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly." And that word feared means amazed. They were amazed exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So here in our story, the disciples are in a small ship going to the other side when suddenly a very violent storm crashes upon them. And it's so violent that these experienced fishermen begin to fear for their lives. And in their great fear, they woke Jesus up and they said, "Do you not care, Jesus, that we're about to perish?" So Jesus gets up, speaks his word, calms the winds and the waves. And the Bible says his disciples were suddenly amazed by the power of his word. All they could do is stand in amazement at the power of his word. But here's what I want us to understand. This isn't a good amazement. This isn't a good amazement. Please capture that. They're amazed at the power of his word, but this is not a good amazement. Because Jesus reprimands them for their doubt. And as I was thinking about this, everybody stay with me. As I was thinking about this, here's the thought that came across my mind. This was a glorious moment when he stilled the winds and waves by the power of his word. This was a glorious moment when he spoke and the winds and waves obeyed his voice. It was a glorious moment. But how much more glorious this moment would have been if Jesus woke up in the midst of the storm. How much more glorious this moment would have been if Jesus woke up right in the middle of the storm and he saw the disciples sitting still in his presence. And then before he could speak, one of them said to him, "We saw you sleeping and we knew you needed your rest. So instead of waking you up, we decided we would just sit here in the middle of the storm in faith, trusting God would see us through the storm. Jesus, we knew you needed your rest. We knew you needed your sleep. So we just decided to ride the storm out in faith, trusting God." Can you imagine how amazed Jesus would have looked? Capture, I'm a very visual person. He's right in the middle of a storm sleeping. A hard wave crashes into the boat. It wakes him up. And when Jesus wakes up, there's his disciples sitting still in his presence. And before he could open his mouth, one of the disciples say, "Jesus, we saw you were tired. We saw you needed your rest. So instead of waking you up, we thought we would just ride the storm out with a trust in God in our heart." Can you imagine how much more glorious the moment would have been if that was the case? And here's the challenge I feel from the Lord to set before your heart. I know many of you are in storms, but can I just challenge you to rest in faith in your storm, that God's word is going to come through for you? In other words, here's what I'm saying. Can we just be amazed enough at the power of his word to rest in the storm? Can we just be amazed enough at the power of his word to rest in the storm? Are you catching what I'm saying? It was a glorious moment when he stood up and rebuked the winds and waves, but how much more the moment, how much more glorious the moment would have been if he would have just woke up and they're sitting in the middle of the storm saying, "Jesus, We knew you were tired, so we're just going to ride the rest of the storm out in faith. Can we just be amazed enough at the power of His Word to rest in the storm? You know, there are times to cry out. There are times to say, "The Lord, I'm going under." But in my heart this morning, I feel like the Lord is saying, I know some of you are in some pretty hard storms. But can you just be amazed enough at the power of my word just to ride the storm out in faith? Can you be that amazed? Amen. Amen. His word is amazing, isn't it? The power of His word is amazing. And one more time this morning, He just wanted to remind us. I just want to remind you. My word is amazing. What it's doing in your life is amazing. Live amazed. Be amazed. Take time to think about it. And let me amaze you with what I've done in your life. Amen. Stand with me this morning. So I guess the altar call would be, Pastor Tim, I am in a storm. I'm in a storm. But the power that's in His Word is so amazing to me that I'm going to rest in the storm. I'm going to rest in the storm. I'm amazed enough at the power of His Word that I can just ride the storm out and rest. And if I can't, I'm going to come to the altar this morning. I'm going to just begin to thank the Lord. God, thank you for reminding me again how amazingly powerful your word is. And we will get through to the other side. And not just get through to the other side with a song of victory, with a song of praise, thanking God for something that only He could do in my storm. Amen. So if that's you, let's just come to the altar and let's just begin to talk to the Lord. Amen. Come on. Amen. Father, we just thank you, God, for reminding us again how amazing the power of your word is. And for reminding us again, God, that it's working in our life. God, accomplishing things in our life. Lord, that is absolutely impossible for our own strength to perform. And we thank you, God, just in the faithfulness of your word to our life. And Father, I pray for those that have come to the altar, those that are in a place of storm. And God, there's just something in the heart that's saying, Lord, your word is so amazing that I'm just going to ride the storm out in faith. God, your word is so amazingly powerful that, God, I'm just going to rest as it takes me through the storm, God. I'm just going to rest. Lord, I thank you. Lord, just minister now to their hearts, God. Minister to their lives. As God, they just place the storm into your hands. And just trust that your word is more powerful than the storm, God. Lord, just minister strength, minister comfort, minister encouragement, Lord. And I thank you for that. And everyone else, would you just stand with me and we're going to close. the service this morning. And you that are here in the altar, if you want to tarry around the altar a little longer, please feel free to do so. Please feel free to stay here in the presence of the Lord and just continue to draw from His strength and His encouragement this morning. Just continue to do so if you desire. Father, I thank You, Lord, for our service this morning. I thank You for coming, Lord, and just meeting us in the worship. Father, You touched a very deep place in my heart this morning in the worship. I thank You, Lord, just for the strength that it brought. And God, thank You for our worship team. God, You've so blessed us with an anointed worship team. I'm so grateful for that, God. And Father, again, thank You for just reminding us of just how amazing Your word is, Lord. And God, we just thank You for Your goodness. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you want to stay around the altar a little longer, please feel free to do that. Everyone else, God bless you this morning.